If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Super Footy Podcast. Once again, after another amazing weekend of footy, another draw, and so many storylines. Where to start? I'm Anthony Hudson and I'm joined, as always, by Mick Warner.
G'day, Hutto.
And Lauren... not Lauren Wood.
We've upgraded.
Sam Landsberger going hard right from the start. He was upsetting people on the weekend on Twitter.
Lauren is in a villa in Seminyak, and she is tuning in.
Yeah,
and,
she'll be downloading for sure.
Smashed it again in the tips. Picked Hawthorn.
Did she?
Wow.
And had to split that one, but anyway, she will be back.
Great to have you with us, Sammy, but just before we go any further, can I just say how happy I am and how hungry I am? Because Mick's already forgotten this, but we had two bets last week.
Ooh. Oh, yes.
And yes. For lunches. Yes. And the first one was that Nick Revolt would apologise.
No, I didn't say he'd apologise.
Yes,
I said he'd
did.
Regret.
You said he would. Did. Oh, whatever.
But either way, it was wrong.
He didn't regret and he didn't apologise. And the second one, for whatever reason, you said Brisbane would beat Geelong.
I did Ooh. Not say that.
You did say.
No,
so two lunches.
God, okay.
Yeah, anyway, so I've got that off my chest. I'm feeling...
Lucky Hutto's a light eater.
He was trying to claim it was McDonald's. I thought maybe Coco's or something like that.
We'll go for an end-of-year pod lunch.
Yes, all right, very good. Well, boys, I suppose we have to start with... well, there's a number of hot stories, but there's probably none hotter than Collingwood and the future of Nathan Buckley.
Were you there, Sammy?
I was there. Fascinating press conference afterwards.
Yeah,
I think
was it ever?
There was a bit of a shift in his demeanour and certainly his words. He asked about his future. He said he's pragmatic but not a defeatist. The writing's on the wall. They're 5-10. The last time they were 5-10 was 2005, and I reckon they were probably tanking that year to try and get Scott Pendlebury under the old priority draft pick.
Allegedly.
The decline's continued for 6 years now, and it's just a real staleness about the Pies.
Those that didn't hear, let's hear from Nathan Buckley now.
It feels like we've reached a bit of a tipping point, to be honest, with the players. You know, they're just... That effort we haven't seen all year. The contest was off. You know, we just didn't work hard in defence. Some of our offensive turnovers would have really hurt, because for periods there we looked like we'd get back in the game but then just couldn't maintain or control the ball with any fluency or efficiency. And I thought it was the first time that I'd seen, you know, probably the players looked like they'd lost a bit of hope. So that's pretty important to find that last sort of 5% that you have in you, to be playing with that energy that we've seen our players play with for the most of the year. In many ways, it's a little bit understandable, but we just didn't have it today.
When you go to those presses, like you do a lot, Sammy, do you get you can just tell, oh, this guy's in a very reflective mood and he wants to open up on this sort of stuff? Did you get that impression?
Yeah, look, I think sitting there waiting for Bucks to go in, we were a little bit unsure. What is, you know, would he be angry? Would he be frustrated? He walked in quite calm. He was really respectful and honest. I think it was
Which
just a man that knew the situation. He knew the hard questions were coming.
The tipping point thing was interesting, though. Mm. I mean, he basically volunteered that, didn't he? And from there, that sort of opened the door to other
really
things.
Really did. And players affected was the other one for
no
me.
Doubt.
That, which,
yeah.
And I always felt like, and this could be wrong, that it was almost like he was talking about the players and himself, a bit of separation. Like,
did
these
you?
Guys, it's their careers.
Was it a
hoping,
bit of a...
Wishing them well.
Well, yeah, that's true. It did feel a bit like that. Was it a cry for help in a way to the board to make a decision earlier or anything like
yeah,
that or not?
A bit of that.
Definitely. I think he's frustrated that he's carrying a can for this football club, which is failing in a lot more areas than just the football department. I think he feels like he's being made out to be like a little bit of a scapegoat, and he's not the only person that probably isn't living up to expectations. He made the point that, you know, there's two things in coaching, there's talent and there's hard work, and he said he's working hard.
What does that mean?
Well, maybe he's saying he doesn't have the talent. Oh, he's,
was he talking about talent of himself, though? That's how I read that graph.
That was, are you the right man to coach this footy club? And he said, well, there's two things in it. So he was wholly and solely talking about his own prospects.
Yeah. One thing certain is he's not going to be sacked. So unless he falls on his sword, Hutto, he will be there till round 23.
Let's listen to what Terry Wallace said this morning on SEN.
Collingwood is on my menu. Collingwood Football Club in general has to lift. Now, I'll have a look at the ladder, and you've got Carlton 16th. And Collingwood 15th, yet there is so much positivity around Carlton and so much negativity around Collingwood, and yet they're on the same points and Collingwood are in front of Carlton. Why? Because Carlton have absolute direction. The Carlton fans, supporter base, know the direction that the football club's heading in and have bought in to that direction. You look at Collingwood, and this is all of Collingwood. Right from the top, from the board, through to the management, through to the head of football and recruiting. Where is the direction of the Collingwood? What are they standing for? Where are they going? I think, as a St Kilda supporter, for years you could sort of see their direction, where they were heading. Melbourne, we had a clear pathway from Paul Roos about getting the hard bodies and the direction that they were trying to sort of set up their football club. It's been up and down and all over the place from Collingwood. So I'm blaming the board, the management, the head of football, and we had people in sort of saying, they've had five over a period of time. This is a whole of Collingwood situation that doesn't lay just with the coach. It doesn't lay just with one person. The direction of the Collingwood Football Club is all over the joint, and it needs to be fixed.
So that's pretty strong. I think it's part of the whole decision here, isn't it? Is how much responsibility, and this is what makes it extremely difficult, how much responsibility does Nathan take, given
the coach?
Yeah, I know that, but given the decisions that they made in, first of all, appointing him when he was an untried coach. I know he'd been an assistant at their club for a couple of years. And then the path they went down with the rebuilding and so forth. And
the
fact
first
that those
one,
guys,
obviously, he can't own. The second one he can, which is the list. It's Bucks's list. The first point is an interesting one.
I guess
it would never happen again way he became coach.
No, I don't think it will. And I agree that the decision now is untenable to stay with Bucks unless they've got some other reason that they can point to and got this amazing faith.
If that
is
the case, they should re-sign him.
Well, probably.
But they won't. I mean, Eddie's away.
They'll know now.
He's still overseas on Friday.
But I do think it... I do wonder who else has to take... Like, if anyone else has to take responsibility for this.
And who are we talking about? The CEO and the president?
Well, it's their management. That's what Plough was talking about then, so...
The list decision, I mean, he brought in Quinton Lynch, didn't work, Chris Mayne last year. There's so many poster boys for what's gone wrong. There's no clear direction. I think that's the frustrating element from the supporters' point of view. You compare them to other clubs in similar parts of the ladder, you can clearly see where they're going and when they're going to be in the premiership window. I'll never forget, Bucks told the members forum, I think 2 years ago, that he expects Collingwood to rise in the premiership race along with the Western Bulldogs, Gold Coast and the Giants. Now, the Gold Coast clearly haven't lived up to expectations.
So he can't even get his tips right.
Well, but the Giants and also top four last year, obviously one of them won a flag. It just shows you that the planning and the foresight and the master plan has just unraveled and failed.
Well, I've said all along, Craig Kelly to me is a fascinating figure in this because he is Bucks' manager. He's one of the most powerful blokes in the game. He's a manager of potentially people who could take Bucks' job. And he doesn't let his clients wither on the vine, Hutto.
No.
I don't know if he's your manager because you've never withered on the vine. But
he is actually.
Is he?
Yes.
There you go. So you can't talk here. But, he's not going to allow his client to be treated disrespectfully here. So it is fascinating to me what happens in the next seven weeks.
I think in the
how
point
it's done.
The point about the tipping point and where to from here is an interesting one because up until really 2 weeks ago, they've played really competitive footy. You know, they've obviously haven't won as many games, but they've been in pretty much every game.
That was 37 points is their biggest losing margin. They're the only team who haven't been thrashed.
That was part of the argument, wasn't it, about their building and all that sort of stuff. But now that it is falling apart a little bit, and it is so often happens, it does potentially bring forward a decision one way or the other.
Nathan Brown said on Saturday that they play without a game plan. Watching Collingwood, there is no clear style of play. On Saturday, they owned the first 15 minutes. They went sideways, backwards. They turned it over. It just seems like for a coach that's in his sixth year, for there not to be a clear brand is really unique.
There must be, though. There would be. I know he has lots of rules and different things they need to do, but you're right. It's hard for us to see it.
Well, if there is, it's not coming through, and that's got to be the coach's responsibility.
All right. Well, we'll watch this space with much interest over the next few weeks as to how this is going to play out. Ed's away, isn't he? He'll be back
this week. Friday. Back Thursday, I think. Yeah.
So, he's certainly always a man of action. So
Heard, they're going to the Gold Coast. They're going to freshen them up, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was just a free-for-all sort of game style.
Well, that's a good point. I think we might see. I think one thing Nathan might have been thinking in saying what he said is that if it's kind of like accepted that he's going, it might free them up, and you never know. After that, it might be a case of Robert Walls all over again from, what year was that, 1999? Either five or seven, where the Lions...
And they made the eight.
And they made the eight, and they could have... They almost, you know, they played competitive against Carlton when I'm doing the flag, so you never know. That could happen.
Well, I think the Bucks hinted on Saturday they're going to blood some kids. So whether it's Cale Kirby, he's probably not ready physically from a fitness point of view, but he kicked four again on the weekend. His tack cap coach said he's like a mix of Byron Pickett and Cyril Rioli. Whether it's him, whether it's Josh Dacos.
Which part?
Got to bring in
whether
Dacos.
It's Callum Brown coming back, they've got to get some kids in. They've played one debutant for the year. That's Cal Brown. That's not enough for a team sitting 5-10.
No, it is a bit of a damning stat, although they have probably played a lot of debutants in the previous years, and that's possibly why. But given that, you know, I think Geelong have played eight, and Freo and North have played 7-5 or whatever it is, 7-6. So now that leads us to Be Kind Rewind. And Sam, you can go first as our guest.
Be Kind Rewind for me is back to the draft day for the Pies. Now, Derek Coyne and Nathan Buckley have overlooked a couple of father-sons here. Jake Kelly, who is now excelling as an Adelaide defender, and James Stewart, who at his second club, Essendon, kicked a couple against the Pies on Saturday. You just wonder if, from a Magpie supporter point of view, you wouldn't mind if seeing those boys get picked up by the club. Kelly was best on ground for Collingwood in a VFL match before he was rookie listed by Adelaide. Now, when you're getting a lot of list decisions wrong, I know it's easy in hindsight, and these boys weren't highly rated at their draft, but with the romance factor...
And they were free.
And they were free kids. You just wonder if maybe they should be on Collingwood's list.
I think Jake Kelly, actually, if the Bryce Gibbs deal had gone through, he may have ended up at Carlton last year that had gone through. I think that was potentially anyway. That was
that's a good one,
Sammy. Part of the deal. I must say, when I was early seeing Jake Kelly, he looked to me like a fairly limited player, like hard as nails and whatever. But he's become like a regular in a team that could win the premiership. He looks like Jake Lever
too.
He
goes up for a mark. You think there's Lever? Oh, hang on, Kelly. My Be Kind Rewind is, and Ian Sills has kindly tweeted into, I think Hutto was having a crack at the potential crowd for yesterday's North Melbourne Fremantle game at Etihad Stadium, which ended up drawing 19,266 fans, which was pretty good.
Good crowd.
And it was actually a very good game as well.
So, yeah.
So, apologies from Hutto there to you, Ian.
I think last year the crowd was 23,000, so 4,000 dropped off, but anyway.
Oh, Hutto. Captain
Negative. So are the wins.
My Be Kind Rewind is, of course, for Clayton Oliver, for just his response to what happened with the crowd. Now, you were just telling us beforehand that the Carlton supporter wants
he wants an apology.
Should he get one?
Well, I don't know what was said, but
I think
there were shades of Mickey O'Loughlin and the West Coast supporter all those years ago.
Didn't we? Isn't he alleging that Clayton Oliver made some sort of threatening?
Oh, I'm not sure. Is this live? Anyway, he won't be getting an apology, I can tell you that.
He won't be?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
Right, okay. Well, I'd heard that Clayton was quoting an old Bruce Willis movie. I'm not sure whether that's true or not.
Have you got any audio of it?
No, well, we'll see if we can find it in time to put it in the podcast.
If she touched me again, I'll kill you.
But
best not to fraternise with the crowd.
No, well, and that's like, you know... Imagine all the full forwards over the years that have copped little full backs that have copped.
Yeah. Plugger did, just torpedo the ball into their faces from 5 metres out. That's the best way to do it.
He's got a bit of spunk. I like him.
Let's have a listen to what Simon Goodwin said post-match.
Once again, young player, learning and behaviour. And I'll have a look at it and chat to Clayton. I haven't got all the information, so once I get that, then we can have a chat about it. I'll sit down with Clayton. If that's what's happening, I'll sit down. But clearly, Clayton's not going to react to something unnecessarily. So let's wait. Let's get all the information on the table, though, before we start criticising people.
So, I mean, as you said, he's got...
He's defending his players a lot, isn't he?
He is. So what about this whole character thing with Melbourne? Is it an issue?
Oh, look, Goody was pretty strong in his defence of the culture. I didn't like last week that they didn't actually come out and tell us the full story. Goody was interviewed at length on OCN after the loss to Sydney. And basically said, you know, we're dealing with a discipline issue, re Tom Bug. And then that night, the news surfaced on the Herald Sun website that four players were suspended for drinking.
Well, you broke the story.
Where did that story surface from, Sam?
Well, but
Lauren never goes down that pump.
No, Lauren never pumps up her own stories.
It just seems like if you want to be on the front foot with your culture and say how you're building a culture, well, then let us in on the ride as well.
Culture. To me, culture is something that you grow on a dish at, you know, one of those biology labs. What is a culture?
Well, that's a great question as to what a culture actually is, isn't it? Not so much the bio thing, Mick, but at footy clubs. But I think we saw a bit of it from Melbourne yesterday, didn't we? I thought we saw it from both clubs yesterday.
Love the Blues.
Terrific game. And Neville Jetta, that moment at the end was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, 2 1-on-1 wins. Carlton, two men down on the bench were the only... That was a really, really spirited... You know, that clubs hate the term honourable loss, but that was as honourable as it gets.
Well, aren't we seeing that all the time? This rotations are clearly overrated because Geelong had one left against Fremantle and came out and won the game. I mean, I'm being a bit tongue-in-cheek, but it's clearly possible to do this within games. Carlton did it yesterday. I think Freo were down in numbers and they managed to get over the line. But I thought, you know, it was a good win for Melbourne too, wasn't it? I think with the players, the midfield,
a lot of players,
midfield
out.
Players they had
both
out.
Both their captains.
Tyson out as well.
Salem, Tyson.
Jordan
they've
Lewis.
They've got depth, Melbourne.
Up. What about the dying seconds of that game? Are we happy with Alex Neil Bullen doing what he did, seeing the clock count all the way, saying he's going to have a shot and then he doesn't?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, man up Jordan Lewis and there's no issue. I mean, why was Jordan Lewis left free in the last minute of the game?
I don't have a major problem with it, but you could see them looking out the corner of their eye at the big shot clock and they knew Jordan Lewis, the old pro. He'd been copping it all day too. He enjoyed that 30
He did.
Seconds.
I just don't see why we need a shot clock. It was brought in for a bit of fan engagement. It's added nothing to the game. Just get rid of it and just make it up at the umpire's discretion as the rest of the game is.
Yep, just play on.
What about Melbourne then, Mick, in terms of where do you see them now?
I see them in fifth on the ladder, Hutto, and going very nicely.
Premiership chance?
No.
No. Can definitely win it. A lot of the Dogs of last year about the days.
Yeah, all right.
I'm still on Winks.
He's still obsessed with the Dogs, which is absolutely fair enough. Time for Is It Just Me? And Mick, you can go first.
Yeah, it's funny you mention the Dogs, but at halftime on, was it Saturday night or Friday night?
Friday night.
I reached for the phone and a particular app and had a bet on the Dogs to win the premiership. I thought, here they go, they're back. Now,
and this is
that
just
clearly
me
backfired.
backfired.
But is it just me or can they still find something under the grate? I believe in Bevo. And I'm not ruling them off. So is it just me or can they still sneak into the eight and then it's a new season?
Hello, as just...
It's the sound effects of me trying to rule them out. But...
put a big cross through them.
Yeah, I can't see it happening. I mean, so much had to go right for them to win last year and it clearly isn't happening this year.
It could happen again.
I just don't see how it can, really. I can't see the makings. Like this time last year, it was a different competition, but... They were playing much better footy than
No doubt
now.
About that.
And I know
surely it lives in there somewhere.
Yeah, oh, look, it does somewhere, but I don't think enough to, I mean, we know how close the season is and you just got to make it and get some sort of reasonable form together.
Sammy?
But I just can't see it.
You love the Dogs?
Oh, I think Carlton this week. They drop that, it's all over. But if you sneak in, get Richmond in a knockout final.
Oh, hang on.
There's a you stay in Melbourne. There's a week off.
Hang on,
the
good point.
Never know. It is a new season as we learned last year.
Do you think they can win it? Sam?
I think if they sneak in, you wouldn't want to play them in the finals. But the way it's going, I don't think they'll sneak in.
No, so you don't think they've got a reasonable draw though, haven't they?
Well, they actually,
whatever that is.
The frustrating thing from the draw is there's seven games to go and they've sold two of them. So there's two at Etihad which go to Cairns.
Well, they haven't sold them. They've moved to Ballarat. That's a great new stronghold like Hawthorn.
So they haven't sold them.
Well, not. Yeah, I mean, yes, technically, but
look, also, I think
Ballarat in the middle of winter. What could be better than that?
Yeah, we've got a lot of proud listeners up in Ballarat.
Hello to all our Ballarat listeners from Mick. Yeah, I think that might hinder their chances. I think on form they won't make it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, it must be just me then.
Yeah, it must be just you. Is it just you, what, Sammy?
Is it just me staying on the Dogs? I think this is one of the... If there's a picture for a win-win trade, I think this might be it. When the Dogs sent pick 11, it was, to Carlton a couple of years ago for two later first-round picks in return, Carlton picked up Charlie Curnow, who is looking like he might be the next coup de fait. He's Rory Sloan reckons he's got hands like Stuart Lowe. And the Dogs picked up Josh Dunkley and Kieran Collins. And, well, I don't think the Dogs win the flag last year without Dunkley September. So talk about a win-win trade. Curnow's going to be a star, and Dunkley helped deliver a flag last year. I reckon that's looking really good from both ends.
And good call. Until I see Curnow, though, run past the ball at full speed and pick it up with one hand, I refuse to believe he's the next Cooter.
Well, he's only, what, 20 games in? I think he's...
Remember the old Cooter trademark? Yeah.
Hey, whatever he is.
Mate, Jared Brennan had that trademark, so...
Yeah, he did, actually. Yeah.
The next Cooter, it's been thrown up a few times over the years.
He certainly looks like him.
Bont got called that by Bevo when he arrived as well. Is Bont the next Cooter? Probably not.
Nah. Is it just me, or has the game tactically changed again with this defensive key forward position that we've never seen before?
In 2 weeks, all on Rants.
All on Rants, and then Revolt did a better version of it than Jackson Trent gave the week before. And you think of the way the game is played now. You think Friday night, Jake Lever dominating as that spare and that intercepting defender. This is really, really interesting as to what effect it's going to have on some of these teams.
And if Nick Riewoldt wants to play as a defensive forward, I'm sure he does, and he can come to Richmond next year, and we'll let him play as an offensive forward.
Nick and Jack.
We need one. Nick and Jack, what do you think?
Oh, chance.
Yeah, why not?
Why?
Well, if he retire, would he retire? Anyway, well, no, it's a good call, Hutto. Richmond have got to work something out there.
Well,
Liam Jones will be the next fullback tagged.
What will they do? What, Richmond, I don't mean at the end of the year now, though. They just have to just stick with what they got. Or if Ben Griffiths...
Well, doesn't he just go to someone else?
Comes back.
Doesn't he just go to Hipwood, say, this week, and then if someone wants to tag him, then there'll be someone freed up?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Do they actually go... Do they stick with what they've done and done successfully up until now, or do they actually blink Richmond and blink and bring a second tall in at some stage?
Oh, they're going to.
I think you have to try it in the next 7 weeks so you know. So you've covered all bases come September.
Who's it going to be, though?
That's fair enough. Issue. What about the Saints? Well, that's right.
It could be Ben Griffiths, who we hear is
getting close.
Getting close.
Yeah. What about the Saints then? I mean, they've strung together four
games
in a row.
What about that game? What the hell was going on there?
They are the sleeping giant in the premiership race, and I think they woke up on Saturday night.
Come on. They are the giant
we love
in
a good
the premiership
cliche.
Race.
They are the sleeping giant. The way they played in the first half, they would have beaten anyone.
It certainly was the most astonishing pants pulling down in history of
the fact the that game. They could have been top four come Saturday night if they'd gone on with that percentage. They were on the live ladder.
Well, thank God Richmond was able to salvage some percentage in the second half.
Yeah,
phenomenal. Yeah, I don't know if they can go all the way, but geez, they play that ground well.
What about Seb Ross?
Yep, elevated. Star.
So much space and time when he got it on Saturday night, and his numbers now over the last 8 weeks. He's
all Australian.
You have to be in the squad of 40 at this stage. You'd suggest
Tim Membry
gone
two,
probably.
Daniel Harford, who knows the tribunal, said careless high three down to two.
Is that bringing Paddy McClunk's McCartan?
Yeah, I think so. Although he didn't play in the VFL.
No, he still McCartan. Is. They're hoping. I think he'll be back this week. So we'll see. Interesting. I mean, the whole St Kilda thing goes to exactly where the season, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
three bad games, and we start writing them off, and then they string together four wins. none of them up until the weekend overly impressive. I thought they did well to beat Freo. It was just one of those games they just had to find a way to win, and they did. They beat North in a game that was really ugly.
And Friday Night Lights, but suddenly, against the Bombers.
Suddenly, they had that big win on the weekend, and now, as you said, it leads into a huge Friday night.
Yep. I want to see him play that well at the G. I'm not sure. I think they play the Tigers at the G, still in the run home. I like the same. I think that's going to be a really good test for them.
Their record on Saturday nights at Etihad is some ridiculous amount of wins and losses, mainly wins. So they did it again on the weekend.
And well done on the Maddie's match concept. Raised huge money, about 48,000. Great crowd.
Saints, how happy would the Saints have been on Saturday night, the Saints manager, Maddie Finnis?
Oh, I was near him, and he was very happy with the crowd. But I can tell you, there weren't 47,000 there at half time. There was about 20,000. A lot of Tigers went home early, including myself.
Takes a lot to get the Tiger fans to Etihad, doesn't it? But it wasn't hard to get them to go home.
I think Eddie's right. We knocked that joint down.
Your story. last thing on the Saints. It's the Richmond, I think, before Saturday night, was the number one defensive team in the comp.
What does that mean exactly?
Well, it means that they don't concede big scores. They didn't the week before. They held Port Adelaide to 8 or 9 goals at Adelaide Oval, the big spacious ground. St Kilda went through them for 14 first half goals. Probably could have been even more. The way they got opened up was something like we have not seen before this season.
Do you believe Kane Corns was right?
Oh, I think Dimmer went over the top in his rebuttal. I'm not sure whether they were drinking their own bathwater or not, but Dimmer, settle down. The sledge wasn't that harsh, was it?
I think premiership teammates are allowed to talk about each other any way they like. There's a bond there.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting, though. That he would actually bite back. I think Kane had said a few other things that got under his... under his guard and got him a little bit annoyed beforehand. But do you remember Damien Hardwick 3 weeks ago saying, oh, look, the type of side we are, we won't win by 10 goals, but we won't get beaten by 10 goals either. Well, that was looking like a little bit of a issue, wasn't it, halfway through that game? And ended up they still got pantsed, even though the margin wasn't as big as what it looked like it was going to be. Can we just pause for a moment and listen to probably the most exciting part of the weekend?
The ball's just 20 metres out from the Hawks' goal, picked up by Ward Tope. Here's a chance, Langford, with a quick snap towards the goals, and bounced over the head of Shaw! Can you believe it? He's kicked the goal! It bounced over the head of Shaw, who was standing in the goal square. He went to stop it and bounced over his head. Scores are level, 97 apiece, and there's 13 seconds left in the game.
We're back in the middle, knocked down, comes to Liam Shields of Hawthorne, the clearance inside the 50, Lobb couldn't take it, he stands up at the tackle, got the handball away, Langford outside the 50, kick's being touched, play on, it's a chance for Burton, it might be rushed through, it's rushed through, or was the siren already sounded?
I think the siren sounded.
Yeah, same here, I don't think there's a score.
No score. We have got a draw. Can you believe it? In Launceston, we have two draws in 2 weeks. It is locked up again at 97 apiece. It is a draw between Hawthorn and GWS.
So there's the call on SEN at the end. The Langford goal, wasn't that extraordinary? And then the draw at the end. How close they got. It was clever by Burton, but they just...
Siren goat?
Yeah, well, nearly, but I think it clearly...
Yeah.
Even though the umpire didn't call it before, it actually rang out before he hit it.
And look, if you look at that ladder, that is as good as a win for the Hawks. Their percentage
is a ridiculous comment.
Their percentage is, in terms of their finals chances, that is as good as a win.
How do you figure?
Because their percentage is lower than anyone else's anyway. So if they're on the same amount of wins, they're going to be behind them on the ladder anyway. That is as good as 4 points for the Hawks, unless they have another draw this season.
It's a good point. And can I predict now?
It's a good point.
That's a good point. I predict now that Luke Hodge will announce his retirement ahead of his 300th game.
Yep. You're kidding. Well, wow.
He will. I
have
think
you
he
got
will.
A text message there?
A story's just gone.
Oh! I was going to say, that is... He has too. Well, hang on. It says he'll make an announcement at 2 p.m.
Well, what do you think the announcement is?
Well, someone tried to say he's going to play for Geelong. I heard someone saying he's going to play for Geelong last week.
Who was that? Who said that?
I don't know.
Not sure.
That could be the announcement.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Well, that's a shame because he is one of the all-time greats, Luke Hodge.
That is. It is.
Four flags, two norms.
And he's been instrumental to this 10-week rebuild, which Alistair Clarkson has seemingly masterminded. It's been a stunning turnaround for the Hawks.
You look at kids coming through. How did you rate the group of
We didn't know they had any.
Young players. Well, no, didn't speak to you.
It was a little bit like North Melbourne last year. You sort of couldn't make a judgment because we hadn't seen enough of them.
Yep.
And the worry was that, you know, they were later picks, and the reason perhaps we hadn't seen them was because maybe they weren't that good. Tell you what, perception can change pretty quickly. It's funny, you look at Collingwood and Hawthorn. Collingwood, if Bucks was there next year, you still couldn't be confident that he could turn it around. Clarko's turned Hawthorn around in 10 weeks.
It hurts Bucks, that, doesn't it?
It does. It hurts him, the fact that they played each other twice in that short period. I mean, Collingwood,
17 coaches. You know,
it's an incredible effort from Clarko. And, you know, suddenly, you know, it's, you know, if they can, even if they finish ninth this year, they're not giving away that ridiculously early draft pick to St Kilda as part of the Jaeger trade. Everything starts to look a little bit rosier. And suddenly that they still are an attractive club to come to because of their system and the way they do develop talent.
Well, the other drama on the weekend was at Etihad Stadium yesterday in front of, I think, 19,000 people.
Very good crowd.
And that was between the Roos and the Dockers.
Goldstein, Blakely hits it hard. Higgins in the way. Weller gets the crumb. Gives it to Brad Hill. Looks like there's about three or four Dockers who could do something here. He drives it up towards half forward. Nyhouse gets it. He's got to go for home. He does. He launches. And that is an unbelievable goal. An unbelievable goal from the first gamer. It's his third. And it is one of the goals of the day.
Umpire throws it back into play. Darcy is able to win it.
Oh, no.
Holding.
Oh, no.
Holding on Goldstein.
Oh, no. The young fella Darcy, Ross Sloan, has put his hands.
So Darcy, the first year player, has given away the free kick at the most critical moment in the forward pocket, and Goldstein has to kick a goal.
The hands are over his shoulder. The free kick was there. Wasn't much in it, but
a little bit of inexperience by the young man. You feel for him.
He'll kick this too, Goldie.
Goldstein from the forward pocket moves.
Oh, no!
He's missed!
Oh, Goldie.
He's missed to the right-hand side. Can you believe it?
He shanked it. Oh, Brad Scott, look at him now.
So what a contrast. You had amazing story of Nyhouse. Now, before the game, he's brought in. He was only told at 10 o'clock in the morning that he was going to play. There was a hint of it the night before. So he's 12 relatives and friends from the NT jump on a plane and head down. So they were all there to see him. Mundy's out sick, so he gets in play. He basically barely ever played forward in his entire life. Hadn't kicked a goal in the waffle for 2 years. Kicked one goal in the waffle, something like that. He was picked up, I think, by Brad Lloyd, who used to play for Williamstown. The president of Williamstown rang him and said, there's this kid that's playing in the Northern Territory. I think you better go up and have a look at him. So he went and had a look and saw him and thought, I like what he can do. They put him on the rookie list and he gets his chance. And what an amazing story.
That's a great story. He's paid for himself. He's paid for his contract straight away. 4 points. It's better than what a lot of players will deliver.
No, 2 points would have been enough, I think. Shades of Daniel Metropoulos. Kicked six with his first six.
Yeah.
The Eagles. Who was the guy that Adelaide sent forward in the grand final that day?
Shane Allen.
Yeah.
So Goldstein, what about Goldie, though?
Boy, and
Brad Scott's incredibly poor record when it comes to close games.
Which is 2-16 or something under a goal.
It can't be luck. I mean, we know our Hawthorn train for these final 2 minutes. I think Richmond have started to do that a little bit as well after what happened 3 weeks in a row.
But that wasn't a training thing. Goldstein kicked straight to win.
Correct. But then, the bigger picture, you do look at the sample of 2-16, I think, to start is. That can't be. I mean, Goldstein hasn't had a shot in all 18 games. That is disappointing. You look at their finish against the Dogs 2 weeks ago. Higgins ties the score, and the Dogs go kick, 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 kick behind to win the game. They do set up poor defensively at the end of games.
I don't think it's the worst for North Melbourne to finish last, second last, and get pick one or two, because they need some star power in there.
They haven't had an early pick since Daniel Wells. Yeah. I mean, They do lack that A-grade talent. Yep. Mind you, it's probably not the best year to finish towards the bottom. The draft is looking
Cameron Rayner, who's going to go pick one. I'm going to see if you know he's a star. They have him, they have Josh Kelly and Dustin Martin, and they'll be fine.
If you're picking Rayner, I think you're trading that pick for Kelly. I don't think they're getting both.
Good point.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, what they do at the end of the year with Goldie, isn't it? And and whether they play Bruce now. I mean, Majak, they've played the last few weeks. And I know Ross pumped him up a bit post-game, but he struggled from what I could see.
When you're getting pumped up by opposition coaches, you probably want to be getting pumped up by your own mob. Majak just, look, it's been a great story of perseverance. He just, unfortunately, wherever he plays, he looks a little bit lost out there.
Well, the only way you can, he has to be first ruck or nothing. And so they either give him that chance, or it's time to move on. I don't know whether another club would be interested or not. But Bruce, they have to play, in my mind.
And the Goldstein scenario is interesting. Shane Mumford looks like he might be running out of gas a little bit. Now, would Goldstein appeal to the Giants? Should, you know, talks with Josh Kelly progress to a trade situation? So. Absolutely. I mean, especially...
It's going to take a bit more than that.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, maybe...
Pick one... Him and another first rounder.
The other complicating factor for the Roos is they've got some nice father sons next year, so they don't want to be trading away all their picks. Obviously, Josh Kelly is the priority, but they wouldn't mind keeping, you know, a nice early pick next year as well.
All right, let's quickly tick off on two other games. The game at the Gabba, Danger versus Zorko. I hope Zorko gets the 3 votes for this game, because not that it was so much on the line, because the game wasn't really on the line right from the start, but certainly, when the significant play in this game took place, Zorko was the best player on the ground. I thought Mitch Duncan was second best. At that stage. But as the game went on, it became the Danger show, and he was amazing. I think the fact they left him forward so long was significant, because it showed he could still get plenty of the ball and be an offensive force, which I know we knew before, but that was a good demonstration of it. So it's going to be interesting come Brownlow night. But Zorko was unbelievable.
He's had a great year. I love the Tom Lonergan story as well, 200 games. 193 of them with one kidney.
Tell you what I didn't love, though, with Father Tom Lonergan goes, the carry-off at the end. It was one of the most unstable. I thought he was going to do the splits as they were taking him off. And Mitch Duncan looked like he was going to fall over in his 150.
Probably that tired.
So they need to do a fair bit of work on that for their future milestones. The Cats are... They've shown a bit... They look a totally different side with Taylor back in defence.
Yep.
And again, a bit like the Sydney Swans, who we haven't mentioned yet. If they can get there and get themselves into the right spot, then... Because the Giants are just going at the moment with all their injuries. We'll touch on them in a moment when we look ahead to next week. But the other team we have to mention, I think, is Port Adelaide. Coming from what happened in that game yesterday, coming from behind and then...
And after what happened last week.
I'm certainly not riding them. I very much have them in the mix.
I think Port can win the premiership, absolutely.
Yeah, well, they're fourth. Incredible effort. Robbie Gray is a superstar. It says more to me about the other mob. West Coast were
fragile.
Dreadful. And they're out of the eight. God, pressure over there in the two-team town, Hutto.
Yeah, look, I think I'm a bit with Adam Simpson on West Coast. They show at times, and they did yesterday. You know, they get it, and they'll have Kennedy back from next week, hopefully, from their point of view, but... At times, their best looks as good as anyone's, but most of those other teams, and then they just go missing. So, that's a worry.
Well, they've got the Derby.
They'll be an interesting...
Terence Trent.
They'll be an interesting list look at the end of the year, the West Coast Eagles, as to what they do. And I guess Adam Simpson's future too, not at the end of this year, but, you know, in over the next few years as to what he can do. So you're right, big matches coming up. The Terence Trent Derby is one of them. I'm sure they'll go with that over there in Perth.
They should.
Start with Saints and Bombers. Did the Bombers do anything on the weekend to suggest that they could beat the Saints?
You could not possibly pick against St Kilda after what they served up. It was unbelievable.
I'll be tipping the Bombers.
Oh!
Jake Carlock Cup. Jake runs into his old teammates for the first time. I'm not sure they're on the best of
I think it's the Snapchat
terms.
Cup.
I'm really impressed by the Bombers. I love the way they move the footy. You know, they should have beaten Sydney. The Brisbane finish was a debacle, but I think they've been playing good footy for a long time.
Okay.
All right. We usually just have Lauren's tips at this stage because she's the gun. So. Yeah. Cats and Hawks. Imagine if Clarko managed to engineer a win over the Cats.
Well, there's a lot of emotion, as you've just told us, with Hodgie retiring. So
very clever for him to do that ahead of the Geelong game too.
Maybe that round, maybe that round one suspension was well timed. Just gets into the Cats game instead
of down
in Tassie.
How good is it playing his 300th against the Cats?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule out the Hawks.
No, that one. Absolutely can't. Port and North.
Port
at home.
Port.
Suns and Pies in the coach off.
In the yes.
Yeah.
Well, no idea.
Suns with Cal Kirby to debut.
Well, I think if the Suns get, I think Rocket talks about getting four or five players back, and if he, you know, Hall and maybe Ablett, maybe Hanley, they get some of those players back. It's a different team. Where did you have Gold Coast at the start of the year? Where did you think they would finish?
In no man's land, sort of 8th to 13th.
I thought they'd win about 10 games.
Mm. And they still could get close to that, couldn't they? Mm. So I'm with you. I think they're going to end up about where I thought they'd end up. Won't be enough for Rocket to keep his job, I wouldn't think.
No. So suddenly there's potentially two jobs. And I said to you earlier in the year, I reckon it could be as many as five.
Five
changes. Because once one domino falls...
Yeah. Well, who else? Hang on.
Oh, I don't want to go into it.
Save the lead to the end.
No, it's just a theory.
Five.
No substance to it.
Adelaide, I'd say he's safe. GWS safe. Geelong safe. Port. You're saying Ken Hinckley's under pressure,
no?
No,
I'm
Melbourne,
not saying
I think Goody's safe. Dimmer.
It was a mistake what I said.
Yeah, thank you, right.
Except there's a couple of clubs down there that you didn't think about. But anyway, that's fine.
Brisbane. North Melbourne.
No, there could be a change there. No, not at all.
Okay. You don't think there'd be a change in North Melbourne?
He sounds like a bad kind of
rival. I don't know what it sounds all like. Right. Giants, I am doing the Giants and the Swans, and I am very much looking forward to that.
Another one there. Okay, so
I think I'm going to tip Sydney against the Swans, against the Giants.
That's spotless.
Yep.
Great intra-club.
Yep.
Josh Kennelly should be back. Giants get a few back as well.
Yeah, who will come back before I tip them definitively?
Well, I think Toby Green, Steve Johnson, and there might be one more.
Canelio and Delidio, one of those boys back.
Maybe as well. I'm going for the Giants.
Yep.
No, I think Sydney, Gary Rowan, the fact that they found a place for him in the way that forward line's working now, much different. That's a huge change to their forward line to have that pace come out of the square.
We haven't really
good overhead mark.
Given them enough credit from being 0-6 in the 8.
No, yeah. We don't give credit really that often, do we? We're more negative and just bad clubs. No, it's been a fantastic turnaround by the Swans. I mean, they did play in the grand final last year, so they should have been one of the sides. D's and Crows, that's a rematch from the D's big win earlier
in Darwin. In Darwin. So D's play four games in 18 days. Now they've got to go to Darwin in July, back in the year. Not ideal for their physical.
And that was the thing that Richmond hated when they were selling their home games as a coach.
Do they get anyone back, Sammy, for that?
At the G.
The D's? Probably, I think maybe Jack Tyson. Watts. Watts and Tyson maybe. Jones, no.
No, okay. Mm. I'll go for the Crows. Tigers, Lions.
Oh, wow.
Eric Hibble to kick six in a loss.
In a loss, okay. Blues, Dogs.
Good game. Dogs in a canter, get their premiership.
Yeah, Dogs land an easy kill, or I think this might be the one.
Yeah, I'll go for the Blues. And Freo and the Eagles and the Trent Derby.
Fremantle.
Well, I'll go to the Eagles because they lost last week.
Nate Fyfe is back.
That was significant on the weekend. Suddenly all these other clubs make late last-ditch bids to get him.
Yep.
1.5, yep. 1.6. No, he had the power back into his game. He was winning from the clearances where he's struggled a bit so far this year, and that was fantastic to see. So, but that's going to be one heck of a derby over there. Can you name me any Trent Derby songs?
No, I can't.
Anyone? Probably Before Mixed Time. I should be able to.
Yeah. Lost me.
I still think that
underneath.
I think what Clayton Oliver has proved though is that he is a great pop culture. He's a man that he's not restricted in what he's watched. It to be in his lifetime. Not only did he know the Damian Martin story, but he clearly showed the Bruce Willis Last Boy Scout. If you believe what you hear about what he said to the bloke in the crowd, so. There you go. Terrence, sign your name across my heart. I want you to be my baby.
Oh, sorry.
Hang on. This is what Mick used to be big on, playing things through the microphone in the podcast. This is working well.
Could it be the last Terrence Trent Derby at Subiaco as well?
Because
aren't they building the new...
Building. It's just about done.
Just not done in time.
Yeah, well done on debut, Sammy. Warren, please come home.
Yeah, that's it for the Super Footy Podcast, proudly brought to you by Terrence Trent Derby. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes to hear the latest episodes and leave us a review. If you like Sam, then leave us a review. in the positive. And if you don't, well, leave us a review anyway. For all your other AFL news, don't forget, I reckon if you're still listening to now, you probably are. You probably do like the show. Don't forget to follow at Superfooty on Twitter and use the hashtag SFPod to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. We'll be back next week after another huge round of footy. Have a great week, everyone.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.